Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning and good afternoon, everybody! Welcome to Marvel Movie Talk right here, exclusively on Geekscape. I am Christian Blatt, joined by my electric co-host, the one and only Count Eric Connor. How are you, sir?
Well, or as I go by today, Erictra.
Erictra. Erictra. Oh my gosh,
It flows fleetingly off the tongue.
Yeah, my bell is like 1,000 miles away, so I can't use it. And it's interesting. I think we've done 8 of these shows, Marvel Movie Talk, for Geekscape, this incarnation of it. And this is the 4th state that I've done it from. I'm in Washington State today. So, you can't tell because I've got the virtual background. The lighting's a little wonky. But we were going to have our friend Nate with us, but he apologized for not having time to watch what we're going to talk about. And I said, if you ever watch it one day, you'll know that you don't need to apologize. But the nice thing for our visual audience about the two of us just being here is that we're perfectly framed with Jennifer Garner's eyes just looking over us. You can see her right there. Yeah, you can try and
her lip. Hold on, just as important, her.
Yes, her
pouty lips
her very early 2000 pouty lips. But before we talk about what we're going to talk about today, which is indeed the first watch for both Eric and myself of Elektra, there is a little bit of some Marvel news. And, what we want to do here is when we have, nice photo of Jennifer Garner, we're getting people's attention. I hear tell that sex sells. So when I talk about this Variety interview with Sydney Sweeney, I'm just going to go ahead and use this picture that they posted. Sydney Sweeney, whom people know from Euphoria. There is a Variety article where they confirm that she will be playing Julia Carpenter, Spider-Woman in Madame Web. It had been rumored, but
I thought that was known.
Well, I think it might be, more of an excuse for me to show the picture, but there was a quote from her.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. There was a quote from her that basically she was excited to be playing the character, and she went out and bought every comic she could find with her character. But the it's interesting because the Julia Carpenter Spider-Woman, basically when she starts in Secret Wars in like 1985, she's got basically the same costume as Spider-Man's black costume. I feel like we're probably going to get the more, the more like all red sort of Daredevil look that I'm sharing with our visual audience now.
There is no way that her cleavage is not like a supporting character in this. I mean, like, I'm looking at her with a jacket.
Yeah. No, it's got,
you don't hire Sydney Sweeney unless you hire this part of Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, it's third build on the in the credits. And by the way, our pal Daniel Drew points out that this is episode 9. So thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've already lost track. So
And as far as the Writers Guild strike, Sydney Sweeney is union, of course, but her cleavage is not. So I think they'll still be able to.
Her cleavage is able to do press and promote the film. But, she will not. Yes. You know, we spent a lot of time on this show covering Secret Invasion. In fact, we did 6 full weeks of it. And it might have felt like more, Eric, but does it surprise you at all to know that it was only 6 weeks?
I mean, that 6 weeks on Mars, right? Where it's actually a year and a half, 2 years. It was a very... I mean, you remember 6 weeks ago how young I looked? And now look at me.
I mean, I do.
Yeah. I blame Nick Fury and the Skrulls. I blame Marvel. I blame so many people, except, I don't know, my lack of healthy lifestyle.
Well, that could factor in a little bit. And I am always one to not put too much credit on Rotten Tomatoes and their tomato meter. But there are times where you come across legendarily low numbers. I wanted to share where the season finale of it is called Home. So the season finale of Secret Invasion, which arguably is the most action-packed, using air quotes, exciting episode. It's sitting at a cool 7% on Rotten Tomato. Now, in full disclosure, it is only out of 14 reviews, but I mean, that's like lower than Justice League, you know. I mean, that's an all-time low. Did you get 7%?
Wait, you ready for this? That's lower than Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, the Tom Green classic.
Yeah, well.
Did you get 7% of enjoyment out of that finale? Eric?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, there's definitely 7% of the episode.
Yeah, I feel like I might even go up to 9. You know, yeah. I know this sounds crazy, but yeah.
You know, I like the ending. I thought they set up some nice stuff for next steps. Some of the effects were okay. Like at least we saw some money on the screen. But I mean, 7% is. Even with 14 people, think of how many people really dislike this. And it didn't start off at 7%. Like, I remember the Rotten Tomatoes score was not high on this one, but the pilot, I think, was a little under 60, like it was in the 50s. And you could see that with each episode. And I was, you know, myself and Master Shirley, we were the two who, you know, completely, like, defended the pilot. But
yeah,
come episode 2, the defense rested.
But me and Rain on Your Parade, Nate Miller, both felt that we were very underwhelmed from the get-go. And I feel like we were vindicated by the overall performance.
You were the canaries in the coal mine. The air is perfectly fine. Yeah. How wrong we were.
Other news, earlier this week, it was apparently National Tree Day, and I'm like, well, then what do we have Arbor Day for if there's also a National Tree Day? But Disney took it upon themselves to announce season 2 of I Am Groot, the series of Baby Groot shorts on Disney Plus. It'll be premiering September 6th, and I love me some Baby Groot. Did you check out the first season of these shorts, Eric?
No, I realize I don't think I ever finished it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think that they were pretty cute, and it's going to be a bit of a lean stretch here on the show, as evidenced by what we're discussing today. So I think we'll have to shine a little light on season 2 of I Am Groot. Our pal Daniel Drew gives a big huzzah. That is a Ren Faire level huzzah, good sire, from our pal Daniel, so thank you. And yes,
as a callback, I do hope Groot eventually meets Audrey too. I feel like that seems to me like the alien versus predator of the plant creature world.
Yes, as someone who, of course, was a big part of the rave reviewed production, the Burbank production of Little Shop of Horrors. I think it's important to, I would say you're an authority on Audrey too, right? And we'll take a look at
Inside
the,
Out.
yeah, I know it's true. I've seen you eaten by a giant plant. And of course, I feel like I'm trying to do one thing too many by trying to stream the trailer with the sound off. And it's,
one too many, the Stuttering John feature you're talking?
Yes, exactly. Easy for you to say. So I went back this way instead of having the full screen. But so we're just getting some looks at season two from the trailer, which you can now find on the Marvel Studios YouTube page. And, you know, it's bright. It's colorful. It's the world of Groot, you know, I think. You know, I think it's cute. And, you know, my daughter has taken to Groot a little bit. And then we just saw the outline of Watu, the Watcher, overlooking everything. And Daniel Drew was first on the scene to report that. So there's only five brand new shorts, but let's see if we can get five episodes talking about each one of them.
The reviews are in from Bob Iger, who already said it's crap and he doesn't want to air it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that, they'll take a loss, instead of, actually airing it. Yeah. I think that's probably the case, but anyway, I think that'll be fun. Look, it's just a little something to tide us over until, Loki season two, which, oh boy, I forgot that, our pal Michael Shirley sat out season one of Loki. So, I am not looking forward to his reaction to it.
We're currently casting for Michael Shirley's understudy, specifically only for Loki. So,
yeah,
please send in your headshots and your body shots.
Oh, yes, definitely those. All right. So, we're going to have a fun conversation now about the 2005 Fox Studios 20th Century Fox film, Elektra, starring Jennifer Garner, who I feel like it's very important for me to say up front. I really like her. I was a huge fan of Alias when it first aired. I thought she was great in that role, and I thought it was actually kind of a fun show. You know, J.J. Abrams, that was the niche that he'd carved out for himself. And due to happenstance, sitting next to Tom Cruise on a flight, ended up sending, I guess, DVDs of the entire series to Tom Cruise's office. And the next thing he knew, he was doing a Mission Impossible movie. If not for that, he probably never would have done Star Trek or Star Wars. So I also didn't mind her in Daredevil. And I guess that's the place to start with the Ben Affleck Daredevil, which came out the year before this. I will defend the first act of that film. I think they set up the origin very well and kind of it gets started well. And I will always defend Jon Favreau as Foggy Nelson. He's phenomenal in that role. And I will go so far as to say, if you've never seen the extended cut that has like a whole added subplot that's completely cut out of the movie, I would say at least give it a fair shake. Check it out. I don't hate that movie. Let's say that. I feel a little differently about Elektra, but what are your enduring memories of the Ben Affleck Daredevil, Eric?
I have a very different take on Daredevil, I guess, because I hated that film.
Agreed.
Jon Favreau, no problems. He showed up, he did his job. Weirdly enough, Ben Affleck, when he's not Daredevil, when he's just our favorite blind lawyer outside of Julia Louis-Dreyfus in Arrested Development, you know, I thought he was fine there. Although I don't know if I quite believe he had a JD or a bachelor's for that matter, but yeah, he's fine. But once he's Daredevil and he does this, it's like, there's a moment in there I actually used in a class or two when talking about the potential dangers of voiceover. Now, it doesn't mean I hate voiceover. I know some people like have their issues with voiceover as a tool. I think it'd be amazing. If you have Morgan Freeman doing it, great. But
if you, speaking of Arrested Development, if you have Opie Cunningham doing
it. Yeah, little Opie Cunningham. Yeah, no, it's amazing. But what happened here is that I could do anything. I now have a second sight. Meanwhile, we could see him do anything. We see he has a second sight. I'm like, why are you talking? Shush. Shush. Let the guy in the red, let your stunt double do his job. It was one that one thing I particularly hated was as you know, a foreboding a presence as Michael Clark Duncan, rest in peace, had. All he did in this movie as a villain was just like look out a window and laugh and like, you know, cajole, you know, like it was like, what does Kingpin do? Like what, you know, what is his day job? Because he seemingly did nothing but glower. And I hate that film. I thought she was fine in it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of hers. I think I like her in TV. I've yet to really see much in the way of film that I thought she was good at. Except for 13 going on 30.
You've never clearly you haven't been forced to watch 13 going on 30.
No, she's great now.
She co-stars with the Hulk, by the way.
Right. Oh, I remember.
Let's keep that Electra Hulk crossover going. Yeah, Daniel Drew is very politely corrects me. He says Daredevil was only a year before Electra. Wow, I forgot that. He's actually right. It's 2 years.
That makes sense, actually.
It's 2003. Really rushed.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah,
It's 2 years before, but it is still really rushed. And I did forget to mention that Coolio is actually the client that Matt Murdock represents in the extended director's cut. So RIP Coolio. And what better tribute would there be than watching his performance in the Daredevil movie? Look, I think the big takeaway, and we'll move on from Daredevil in a second, is that you kind of watch it and you're like, man, I bet Ben Affleck really wants to play Batman. And lo and behold, he does. So he just needed a few years. I think she's good as the character in Daredevil. I think that, obviously she's there because she had some familiarity with fight choreography from Alias, I would assume. I think that the actor that they used in the Netflix Daredevil series, just from the beginning, is better in that she's a Greek actress and the character was always Greek. And I'm glad they didn't pretend that she was supposed to be Greek. You know, this isn't this isn't like I don't know. I don't want to use all the examples, but I think it's just like, yeah, this is just my flashback, and it's not like she doesn't, you know, it's not like Nia Vardalos plays her mom, you know.
It's not, or the scene when she's fighting all those sheets that she suddenly goes, "Opa!"
Okay, but to be fair, I would have liked that. That more. And so, spoiler for 2003 Daredevil, she dies at the end of that. But as is known to happen for Elektra, she doesn't stay dead. So we're kind of getting a post-death Elektra here. And how would you summarize?
Not that you could tell.
Yeah, that's true. So you were saying that she's still dead. Her performance lacked life.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I like my avenging angels from the grave in crow colors. But, you know, this here, she doesn't have any sense of someone who's, like, died and come back to life and is now, I don't know. I mean, wouldn't that mess you up a little? But she doesn't have any of that gravitas. There's no sense of, like, oh, yeah, like, I've been literally to hell and back.
Yeah. No, I know. I think it's interesting because the reason that we chose this to watch is that neither you nor I had ever seen it. And nope. Michael was also kind enough to send me a standard def DVD. And you also watched it on standard def DVD, which I think is the way that the Lord intended this film to be watched.
I have to be honest. I wound up having to just get because of when I watched this, it was late. So I needed to actually spend $4 on Amazon. And after all, I borrowed the copy from our lovely DVD library, Blu-ray library.
But you couldn't watch it that way because you had to watch it. You didn't want anybody to know you were watching this, staying up late to watch this trash.
If my kids or my wife caught me, I would say, no, I'm watching porn. No, I'm not watching Elektra, I promise.
Yeah, no, I swear I'm not. Yeah. And I guess Elodie Young was that actress's name, which, boy, I wasn't expecting that to be her last name, and that's why I didn't remember it. But from the TV series, I think it was a little bit more of a faithful adaptation. I think, like her in the red in the fight scenes and stuff, I think it's all okay. You know what I mean? It's a very, like, honestly, it's a very 2005 Fox Studios action movie. It kind of checks all the boxes for that. She looks cool. The Psys are actually pretty cool weapons, and she explains them to the treasure. Yeah, so neither you nor I had ever seen this, which there's a couple of these that for whatever reason I personally hadn't seen. And I remember when it was out, it was just overwhelmingly people were like, this is really bad.
You remember those 3 days?
It was out. Yeah, I was out. It was probably out for a full week. We live in Los Angeles. We
That's true.
probably, but what do you think? Was it that simple that you just didn't see it because it looked bad?
I think it was also lingering resentment for Daredevil.
Yeah,
And
that's a great point.
yeah, and though I thought she was better in Daredevil than this, but also better written. I mean, like I don't think it's necessarily on her the failure of the character in this, although the pouting was not the choice I would have made.
There's a lot of pouting. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, a lot of duck lip action again. My performance as Mushnick in Little Shop had a bare minimum of duck lips or pouting. But I can't base the world's performances on my own recent return to the stage, of course. So I think after Daredevil, I even if it was called Daredevil 2, I mean, I had no desire to see this thing. And I remember the reviews coming out and they were toxic, which only gave me a reason not to see it. But
Yeah.
there was nothing in this that was going to get me to the theater or at some point watch it at home video in the past. How long has it been? 17 years?
17 years, yeah.
Yeah, no, so I've been kind
18,
of busy.
18, 18,
18,
yeah.
yeah, I've been busy these last 18 years, so I could see
Yeah.
why I didn't get around to watching it. But my God, thank God we finally did. Now I feel like a year before I turned 50, I can really feel like I have reached a new plateau of adulthood.
Well, let's focus on the good because I know it did introduce you to one of your favorite new characters that in a text you compared to this film's version of the banker from Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, very much so. I was it's funny, I've already forgotten his name. It was Team McCabe.
Yeah.
McCabe, his her agent. And I'm a big proponent of agents to assassins and the idea of they negotiate for you,
Yeah,
they take up meetings.
because that's Steven Root and Barry. He's also like Barry's agent, basically. Yeah, it is interesting, right? Well, I guess, not like you don't put an ad on Craigslist, like, do you need anybody killed? I'm your guy, So.
Wait, or wait, back then, I guess we had Craigslist back then.
In 2005, we sure did. Yeah,
Yeah.
I may have clicked on a few missed encounters, just hoping to catch up with someone, but never quite happened.
Is that how you and
But
Heather got
yes,
together with Craigslist?
yeah, I wish it was that romantic. Yeah, so McCabe was kind of great. But to be fair, there's like Act One McCabe, and then there's the McCabe that takes a stand and sacrifices himself
Yeah.
for the good of moving the plot along.
To the point where even when he showed up in Act Two, I'm like, is this the same actor? Like,
Yeah,
it
I
took
had to
me a
check. Yeah.
moment, because he looked a little different. It was as if he was a totally different character. And yeah, no, listen, he had that noble sacrifice. He also had one of my favorite terrible death scenes I've seen in a long time, which we will share the
You
image
mean,
for later.
yeah. Yeah. We'll definitely get to that. So it's interesting because the film opens and there's this like very early 2000s 20th Century Fox gangster who knows he's going to get killed, and he just kind of waits for it all to happen, and he's kind of
I'm
sitting
going to
there and
sit
he's
by the
like, well,
fire.
at least I'm enjoying my cognac or whatever he's got. And I was just like, oh, I already, like, that's when I'm like, okay, so that's what this movie is. It's gonna kind of feel like this the whole time. Very unfortunate. But and then there's like this weird thing that happens a few times in the movies where she like moves really fast, but then goes back to where she was. And then she whispers, "You can't kill a ghost, Bauer," or "You can't fight a ghost, Bauer." And I was
Right.
like, what just happened? Like, how does she do that? You know, it's where's the logic here? And I know it's a superhero universe, but still, logically, you gotta help me understand how that can happen, you know?
Yeah, her
But
powers was a constant like question mark I had. And this is it's this is to me like an issue that oftentimes came up for me as a comic book reader with DC is oftentimes I found like the powers were sort of ill undefined in some cases. And there's a Marvel, which I think usually was really good about that by comparison. But then you have a movie like this where, wait, so she can see the future? She
yeah.
can disappear and reappear. Like, why doesn't she
Well,
do that more? If you're in a fight scene and you're about to get, I don't know, stabbed, maybe you should disappear and get out of the way. I'm not telling her how to live her life.
she can see the future if she sits and thinks long enough. And by doing that, you wait until the future happens, and then you just open your eyes, and then you've seen the future in real time, but you've still seen it. By the way, our pal Craig Robinson across the pond says that he's late to the party and he forgot the assignment. Craig, you were the one who posted on Twitter that because you live in the UK, you were actually given the opportunity to watch this film on Disney Plus. But Craig, you're the real winner because you didn't watch this film.
Craig,
But
you're going to live a long, good life without this
yeah,
movie. I promise you
it's
that.
definitely much better, you know. McCabe is the character that we're talking about. Just the way he talks to her and the casual, and it's almost like, "You're gonna crash, baby. Did you even get laid?" I'm like, who wrote that? Like, what? Like, how does this character exist in the same universe as Elektra? You know?
Wait, when they also, he's like, what are they offering? Two. And I was like, wait, $2 an hour, 2,000, 200,000, 2 million. I had no sense of scope of like, how much does she get paid? What's
Two
his cut?
free, super chats on YouTube. That's all you get, but you gotta kill this kid and his daughter.
Two, steak for two for one. For
Two
me, for
for one.
Dominic.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sometimes the show, sometimes the show's just for us, Eric. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, and also too, okay, let's talk about the first half hour then.
Yeah.
So she gets sent to Malaysia, Thailand, Jersey. I just don't remember where.
It
Somewhere
was
in
an
China.
island, and honestly, it looks like they filmed it in Vancouver, so it's probably
Yeah.
like an, because when they do that, it's always an island in like Washington State, where I am now.
Right, right, right.
They you know, they're always like geographically on the map, Vancouver, Seattle, they're close together. Great, we'll just pretend that we're in Washington State.
Yeah.
So she goes up there, and I mean, there's
And
interesting character
waits.
stuff.
She
Like
sits and hangs out.
yeah, she hangs out for like 2 days, which I guess becomes a plot point later. But you know, there's interesting character stuff. Like it's interesting how she like lines up all of her toiletries, and later she's like, "I'm not OCD." There's just no payoff though. Like I was just like, okay, this is kind of an interesting thing.
Right.
And she does it with the fruit. So I'm like, okay, we're getting something out of this. No, we
I thought that
are
was your superpower. No, I thought that was your superpower because if you remember the fruit, it was like the camera wiped and all of a sudden it was fruit. And I was like, well, that's a superpower I could get behind, the ability to organize fruit quickly and efficiently. I've
Oh
been
my
spending my whole
gosh.
life trying to do that.
Just think about what my kitchen would be like if only I had that superpower, you know.
The OCD thing doesn't pay off at all. And even at one point, it's like, I heard you counting. I haven't done that since I was a kid. It's like, oh, re so this is something we're going to hang our hat on is the OCD thing, which
Yeah.
it's one of those tropes in writing. It's like when in doubt, it's like, well, we got to show someone's damaged or trouble. I know OCD because I've seen OCD in 1,000 scripts and I've met maybe five people who truly have
Yeah.
some variation of OCD in real life.
Right. Although I would bet that the people who actually have it do tend to say that they don't have it. So that part maybe is there early in the film, there's like a big exercise sequence where she's working out. And that was actually, I made this note. How am I going to get to an hour 37? Just that was my thought, because that's the running time, which that's not a great sign for any kind of superhero movie that it's under an hour 40. Look, movies now are way too long, but yeah. I'm like, at least get close to 2 hours. If this was an hour 50, you'd be like, all right. But again, I'll say thank you for not wasting more of my time, you know?
Speaking of time, early yes. on, one thing I noticed that I wrote down here, they kept talking about how fast she was at killing people. She killed 14 people in a half hour. I'm like, well, that actually, it may be just because I saw the trailer for Equalizer 3, where he's like 9 seconds and he like kills everyone in 9 seconds. Like that seems impressive. Yeah. I think if I had, I don't know, a few weapons, killing 14 in a half hour, I just don't think I think it's impressive. I just don't know if I'd boast about it. I don't think it's necessarily what I would lead with on my murderer's resume. Kill 14 in 30 minutes or less, or your next one's free.
It was
so specific.
I would like a Photoshop of Eric Connor's murderer's resume. that could be the homework assignment for next week. There is a positive realization, a moment that just warmed my heart, and it was when I realized, wait a minute, Elektra is a Christmas movie. And people go on all the time about how Die Hard isn't really a Christmas movie. And I make this case all the time. It's set on Christmas Eve. There are Christmas songs in it. One of the greatest Christmas songs of all time, Christmas in Hollis by Run-DMC, is clearly a Christmas movie. Elektra, they have Christmas dinner at the guy from ER's house with his weird daughter. And I'm like, this is a Christmas movie. I can't believe I didn't see this, you know? I was excited and I couldn't wait to see Christmas dinner. As with everything else, it was a bit of a letdown. Were you surprised that this was a Christmas movie, Eric?
I like how you frame the question, not do you think it's a Christmas movie? Were you surprised that it's a Christmas movie? Listen, I think...
Okay, do you want to try to convince me it's not a Christmas movie?
No, I'm not going to, because I'm not here to juice-blame Christmas to you. So, but I will say, moving forward, my family, we do watch Christmas Story every year. I think this is the double feature. It's Christmas Story and then Elektra. And if the boys don't behave, we will watch it again until they learn.
Yeah, well, you know what you do is you watch Elektra first. And if they don't behave, you watch Elektra a second time. If they do behave, then you go over to Christmas Story and Ralphie and, you know, Peter Billingsley, Garen McGavin, the whole thing, you know.
Oh, look at you name dropping all of them. I'm so proud.
Come on.
Wait, hold on.
He was the Night Stalker on TV. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Look at
my signed photo from one-time porn star, little Scotty Schwartz.
I believe that's not true, though, that he was a porn star.
No. He was in one porn film.
Oh.
Now you can argue whether or not that makes you a star.
Well, you do one porn and it turns you into a porn star. You know, I don't know how many times, you know, that used to be on my Tinder profile, you know, but I decided to remove it. I figured it was.
Your tongue gets stuck to one flagpole.
Yeah. So the adversaries that we're dealing with, sort of the hand and like the main bad guy and the weird chick who like blows kisses and things die, it's all terrible. They go into the meeting room and I was just like, are they on like the secret invasion budget plan for this stuff? It just, I don't know. It just, it felt like, was this set on the Fox lot? They weren't, you know, it was an off day for Ally McBeal. So that's why they were able to use it. You know, I don't know. It was just.
You have this modern looking city with this massive like bamboo hut in the middle of it that seemingly had a conference room that is not made of any bamboo. So I had so many questions about that piece of it, just the architecture. I think this was one of Geary's designs for the new building he did in Burbank, you know, that they turned down. It's like, well, I don't see how this fits in with anything else, sir. But
yeah,
And their powers, so the hand or whatever they are. So one guy's powers is he's tatted up like Danny Elfman, who I saw recently. And
very nice.
his tattoos come to life.
Yeah, that's actually the next thing I wanted to talk about.
But the tattoos come, so he has animals on his body. And so one's like a hawk or an eagle, and it goes flying, and it's not unlike the crow. It becomes his eyes. I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to rip off the crow, that's not a bad thing to rip off.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden a bear comes out. You're like, okay, cool, yeah. Bear. No, this is Lightning Bear. This is a bear that you just see it go, whoop, and it's like, ugh. And it, there's nothing bear about it. It's just lightning with a bear head, basically. And when you stab them, they all disappear. Apparently very easy to beat as well. Like, they all seemingly have superpowers, but yet you drop a not particularly large tree on one of the hand members and he turns to green powder.
Lightning bear is neither lightning nor a bear. Discuss amongst yourselves.
Dude, Cocaine Bear would be more believable than Lightning Bear. And
yeah,
like, it was.
Which, by the way, if I could get tattoos of things that would come to life, I would have a tank, a gigantic, like, bazooka launcher, like, probably big piles of money,
and Bartolo Colon, my favorite home run hitter. I saw that man
hit a home run in San Diego. So,
me too. We were both there.
Oh, that's right, we were both there. Hey, here's to us.
Mazel tov to us both.
So one of the things that I was excited about, though, was I forgot Terrence Stamp played Stick. And so I do look, he's a badly written character in this movie, but I love him. You know what
but,
I mean?
I love Terrence Stamp to the moon and back, but yeah. He was the least convincing blind man I have ever seen in anything. And I'm talking Summer Stock Theater. I'm talking my kids' shows. I'm talking my buddy who played the one-armed blind fisherman whose arm switched between act one and act two.
Oh,
like,
no.
There's not a second he acted. I think I have a theory. His character didn't know. He didn't know his character was blind, and they shot everything else about his being blind elsewhere, because he did nothing with his eyes to make you believe he couldn't see. And listen, Terrence Stamp. If you can get Terrence Stamp, you use Terrence Stamp. He's always awesome. He's even awesome in this. So I thought he was Splinter for a moment in those early scenes.
Oh yeah, he is definitely. Stick. He is very Master Splinter. I agree with that. Yeah. Which, by the way, he'd be a phenomenal Master Splinter.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
I heard Jackie
I have not seen the new Ninja Turtles movie, by the way. But
I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate you continuing to see movies without inviting me, but I will think back to the time that you did invite me and we saw Mission Impossible. So I'll always...
I could either take my son who asked me to take him. What could have solved it is when Alex said, can you take me to the Turtles? I said, ask Christian Blatt.
Yeah, he'll take you. Yeah, exactly. Right. That would be fun. So there's a few fight sequences that... let's just say they felt a little lacking. Do you think that, am I telling tales out of school here? Am I being harsh, Eric?
This is not exactly The Raid in terms of fight choreography. It is, again, I think it kind of goes back to this just feels really kind of cheap. And so they didn't really put a whole lot of money into effects. They didn't put any money into fight choreography. And I think that's also... in essence, a big miss. If you're doing a Daredevil or an Elektra story, that feels to me like something you sort of lock down first and foremost is like really high-end fight choreography.
You can overlook a lot of the other stuff, and there's a lot to overlook. If the fight, and look, even if it wasn't like huge budget, if it had been well choreographed, I don't know, it would excuse a fair amount of it. I agree with that, but... that's not the case, is it? It was all rough to watch. And then, the big reveal that Abby, the teenager, who I think they tell us is 13, and I'm just going to believe things when I get told that, but I was like, if you say so, movie, if you say that that girl's 13, but you know, and so she's got like the magic lasso, which doesn't really get explained, you know?
No.
Yeah. And I mean, the character is all right. It actually reminded me of the final season of The Punisher. Frank has to look after this girl, Amy, who's on the run. She doesn't have any magical powers, but they actually had a really good dynamic. And I was like, oh, maybe her and Elektra are going to have a good dynamic. But nope. they definitely did not.
Well, even early on when she, you know, one of the, not when I say the word big plot twist, what I mean is non-existent plot twist.
Yeah.
She finds out the two people we've been hanging out with for 20 minutes are her targets, because we've seen no other people on this island but the two of them.
Yeah.
And I guess the guy who like checked her in at the hotel, and that's it. So, yeah.
No, it's just that she just was renting a house, though. I don't think there was anybody else there.
Oh, you're right. Oh, that's right. Right. Yeah. It was an Airbnb. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so.
Which, let me find that listing for that house, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, that house. The house is actually the best thing in this thing. It's like the most beautiful looking house ever. But, but she also, like, so they meet early on, and this girl's like breaking into her house. And she's like, funny, the lock is broken. I'm like, I'm not laughing at all. And she has a chance to kill the girl and the dad, and she opts not to. And I'm like, you know what? Like, the movie where she actually kills them both, that's an interesting film. And then later on, when seemingly they die, but in fact it's one of her visions of the future, once again, I'm like, okay, if you tell me this movie had a 19-year-old, 13-year-old, like, get killed, and her dad, basically by the midpoint, and now she's going to kick some ass because of it. That's all right. Once again, that at least would have something to it, but there's no real bond. There's a fight scene between her and the girl where she's just practicing, and or more to the point, her stunt double, as you'll see in my picture, is practicing with her.
Yeah, no, I want to. Yeah, we'll go through the. Oh, yeah, we'll definitely go through the pictures. By the way, I did just look up this actress. Her name at this time was Kirsten Prout, born in Vancouver. So, what we in the business, Eric, we call a local hire. Sometimes that's what you're looking for when you're doing your casting.
In Canadian productions, also depending on CanCon, Canadian content laws.
Yeah.
You need to have a Canadian as, I think it's like second or third on the on the list to get a certain amount of tax credit. So,
and you always have to have at least one Loverboy song on the soundtrack. It's actually, look, I don't make the rules. I just enforce them. So she was actually 14 when they filmed this. She was born in 1990. So it just shot my theory, because I was hoping to find out she was like 22 when this movie was made. And then I'm like, oh, no. All right. Well. Back to the drawing board, I guess. So, and look, for the character that was on the page, you know, she was fine. As Canadian local hires do, she was fine. I think I can think of at least two actresses from Degrassi that would have been just as good.
Drake being both of them.
Well, I was going to say Drake and Paige, but sure, let's just say Drake or both of them. But in any case, I don't know. I just didn't look. I didn't want to see a dad and a little girl get killed. You know, so I guess like that was my investment. But I agree with you. If she had just taken the shot, she had two opportunities to take the shot. She put it down, and then she's like, "Wait, I should actually take the shot." So there were two chances where we could have had like a 25-minute movie. You know,
which would have been great. I was watching. That's
on you, Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
Not even your character.
To give you a context of when I watched some of this, so last night my older son wanted to see Oppenheimer 70 millimeter IMAX, and so the only tickets we could get were 10 p.m. I came back from that at like, you know, 1:30 and in the morning, and I had already started watching this, but I watched the second half while falling asleep, and I didn't know what was real, and then I like woke up one point. I'm like, wait, did I miss something? I'm like, no, I missed nothing. Like, I hadn't fallen asleep at all, but I thought I had.
You thought you had. let's take a moment and go through the photos, and then we'll mercifully wind things down here. So, is this an image of young Electra? Is that what we're looking at here for our visual audience?
No.
Let's describe. No.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry for our radio wireless listeners out there.
Yes, we're actually very big on ship to shore communications.
Once you finish the farm report, turn over to 7:70 a.m. So this is little big girl's stunt double.
Is Abby's stunt double.
Yes.
Looks like a small Asian woman.
I'm about to say, like, Liz, I understand you get the stunt double you can. It was old tech that you didn't realize.
DVDs, also a local hire.
Local hire. But yeah, and I even when I was watching this at regular speed in the dark of night, I was like, watch it, wait, hold on. And so I just went back and I'm like, yep, that is a stunt double that I don't know. I guess she's got the hair. But beyond
I'm not going to lie. I started doing the dishes while I watched this movie. So clearly I missed it. I thought my concession to myself was I put my earbuds in. So I was like, all right, I'm at least hearing everything. But I missed this gold and I'm very upset with myself. Because I did not
see that joke they had in Spaceballs when they catch the stunt doubles.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they look really nothing like the actors. That's this.
That is this.
So this is a moment I just called my hair is my closet, where it's this like dramatic shot of her and the wind is blowing, but the hair is just going all over her face.
So this is Electra?
Yeah. You can't
I could have sworn this was Ray Manzarek circa 1969. So I'm going to take your word for it because I don't know why he would have been in this movie. So it makes more sense.
This was Electra when she played with the Allman Brothers Band.
That's her Dickie Betts haircut, I think, that she was working on there. Oh my gosh, yeah. And let's see. I don't know. We were talking about in the beginning. McCabe the gangster enjoying a nice cognac.
No, McCabe is not the gangster. McCabe's the agent.
Oh, he's not. Oh.
Right.
Well then, isn't Bauer. The Bauer was this. You're Bauer. Right. McCabe was yeah. So Bauer was this guy. For our audio audience, do you have this because there's a reflection of what looks like a prop master me? On set. Yeah.
No, that reflection is myself. Yes.
I wasn't even, I know it looks like it's actually in the movie. I know it's you, but I was just like, oh, I should really not do the dishes while I watch movies. Anyway. So what were you going to show about Bauer holding the glass?
Well, it's 1943, I believe is when Citizen Kane came out. Famous sequence of the snow globe, rosebud, snow globe drops, snow globe crashes. Yeah. It has been replicated. I couldn't even tell you how many times, 1,000 at least.
At least 5 times on The Simpsons alone. So
yeah. Lobo, bring back Sheriff Lobo. So drops the glass and I'm like, oh, it's going to fall and crash in slow motion. And of course it did.
It did.
And listen, God bless whoever the guy directed this is actually Rob Bowman who did Rain of Fire, which I actually enjoyed. But he, after doing this, he went back to what was then the minor leagues of TV. I think after doing this feature, they're like, yeah, no, thank you. But
yeah, I mean, they do call it movie jail for a reason, you know.
Yeah, now mind you, now yeah. TV is no longer a movie jail at all because obviously. Some of the best stuff out there is TV. So, but not the case in 2005 or 6, whenever this came out. But yeah, the next picture is basically the glass shattering. And anytime you do that, you better be good because you're just basically saying, oh yeah, I'm getting my Orson Welles on and not, but it's more like the Orson Welles who was selling very large bottles of Gallo wine or whatever it was towards the end of it, or frozen.
There's peas. A woman in Yorkshire.
Peas, frozen bro, peas.
Yeah. You can't say in July. All right, I don't want to. We need to move on from that before.
What's a gunk?
There's a lot of directing going on here.
So for our radio listeners out there, so this is when Elektra died. It's a flashback to her own death because somehow she remembers dying and she remembers her own body dead. Well, yeah. What is the first thing they teach you in EMT school? You can't use paddles on clothes. It has to be skin. So yeah. This guy is obviously someone who's also a local hire. First day on the job. Oh, geez. So how do I use these paddles, Gord? And so he puts the paddles right on her leather, which I don't know how conductive leather is with electricity. Actually, I do know, but I'd rather not admit why.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, think about the X-Men uniforms in the 2000 Bryan Singer film, you know, so clearly leather. Yeah. Look, I think it's a simple matter of they weren't going to open Jennifer Garner's shirt for any reason. You know,
they didn't have the budget.
Yeah,
you'd have to pay your Halle Berry monies for that.
They didn't have any like pasties in the budget or you know whatever you need to do to cover her up. But yes, I do agree that doesn't seem like proper technique. So I hope that no aspiring EMS workers watched this film and decided that like, well, I don't really need to train. I'm just going to do what they did in Elektra. And I love this close-up shot of Jennifer Garner looking really confused because honestly, this is how I felt throughout the film in its entirety, really.
Yeah, one of many, she's a woman of many pouts in this movie. And this was her when Stick, which by the way, I know it's a character from the comics, but yeah. I just love having a character named Stick. Seems like he should be playing, stickball with like, you know, the Little Rascals
and the old neighborhood. Yeah. We all played stickball and we had the old Spalding bouncing ball. Yeah. I feel like it's like some story from Larry King's book on tape, you know?
Yeah. When he claims to have known, the pitcher, Sandy Koufax. He's like, oh, yeah, Koufax and I were friends. And Sandy Koufax is like,
He's like, I don't.
I think I saw him once at Nate and Al's. And that's it.
That sounds like news to me. And I know we've got a couple more picks that I want to make sure that we get to. I didn't. Oh, don't worry. I will.
Oh, yeah. I believe in you, Peter Pan or Tinkerbell, whoever you are.
I'm a bit of a Captain Hook. Come on.
Yeah, I think what's really weird here, too, is because, like, I feel like she figured out Elektra and Daredevil. And again, I know the script was different here, even though it's the same writer. It's a different director. But like really, like what made Elektra interesting from what I remember in Daredevil, I didn't feel like was in this movie much at all.
Yeah, I agree. There was like a playfulness to her. And yes, she was playing off of Matt Murdock. But yeah, she's very, very vanilla, you know? Like we said, it's arguable as to whether or not she was brought back from the dead or if she's actually just still going through the motions. Now, this was something that I mentioned earlier.
Name check, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did like the product placement for Rite Aid, by the way. I thought that there was a fair amount of Rite Aid brand. And it's not like when you take the Rite Aid logo and you turn it into, you know, something similar, you know, like... You know, you'd have like the Captain Crunch box, but it would be called like Crunchies in a similar font. They're like, we have we've got close-up toothpaste and Rite Aid brand toiletries. So, it was just seemed like probably the least satisfying product placement that anybody ever brokered for a film was like,
Wasn't close-up toothpaste also the one that really marketed itself using sex? Like, you use this toothpaste and you'll be close up and, you know. And so clearly she was like down DTF, as Christian would say.
As I would say. Why is Tommy Wiseau in sunglasses in this shot that you have sent to our video listeners?
Well, this is actually, related to one of the other pictures I sent. So this is a gentleman with sort of long, scraggly hair, sunglasses. Yeah. And though I can see the Tommy Wiseau of it, it reminded me actually And this is where we have to take a moment and be a little sad.
Yeah, I forgot that these are not in the order that I wanted. Sorry. These were not the droids I was looking for, were they?
So also one of these
that's
is
where
Bastion.
We needed this, right?
Yes. He reminded me of Rodriguez from the beautiful documentary Searching for Sugar Man. Here's the sad irony. So late last night, grabbed that frame. I'm like, why does he look like Rodriguez? And then I found this image of Searching for Sugar Man. And then I found out this morning Rodriguez had just died.
Oh no.
So I don't know if I did something some weird way and cursed him.
You definitely did. Yeah.
I mean, he was 81 and he was sick, but I worry that in some ways connecting him with this film was his undoing.
Yeah, I would
rest
think
in peace, Rodriguez.
I think that's fair. One image that I want to make sure we get to, of course, is one of my favorite characters from G.I. Joe, Storm Shadow.
Right.
Who, of course, is Snake Eyes' brother, spoiler. He's sort of a great dynamic, very cool action figure. Cool. You know, it was fun on the animated series, except, you know, he never really stabbed anything. But still, you know.
Well, he'd stab them, but then the parachute would go off on the wound.
Styx Legion of Ninjas remind you of Storm Shadow? Was that why this was included?
In one of many terrible moments in this film, and that list is not short.
There were.
It's when it looks like all hope is lost, and suddenly here comes Styx in the Storm Shadows, which was also, of course, Christian Blatt's Christian rock band from 1990.
Yeah, I mean, the storm was coming, and we were the shadows to help you avoid it. The other thing that I want to make sure, and I know we don't worry, we do have to get going, but you did talk about how McCabe had a very unceremonious demise. And I wanted to make sure that we shared it. This was his beheading, right? This is McCabe, because I recognize it, because you should understand where when you see a character in a movie who's wearing a turtleneck that was not wearing a turtleneck earlier, you should figure, oh man, guy's gonna get his head cut off, isn't he?
Yeah, it's basically. For again, our audio listeners over there overseas, this is like a head slice with no blood, and the head just pops straight up. Yeah. Which I haven't cut off too many heads in my days, but usually when I have, there's at least a little bit of a sense of like the motion of the blade. It goes to the left or the right. This one, nope, straight up like a pop, you know, like a toaster, you know, and. When that happened, I laughed so hard I almost woke up my wife. So that was my favorite moment of the whole movie.
Well, Eric, what's the takeaway as we wrap you up before I wrap the show up? Your big takeaway on Elektra is?
Well, the one to grow on this one is, for those who've never seen Elektra, I envy you. I wish I was you. But that all being said, I think this was a perfect movie for Marvel Movie Talk.
Yes.
And maybe because, listen, Secret Invasion disappointed. Some of the recent MCU entrants have disappointed. But this is a reminder that, you know what? MCU does pretty good. Because all you got to do is go back about a decade and a half, and all of a sudden you see this thing, which is one of the worst films I've seen in years. Like, years.
I agree.
I don't remember the last time I saw a movie this level
of
bad.
I paid to see Don't Worry, Darling in the theater, and I still think this was worse. So.
I saw Tommy Wiseau's Big Shark, and I think this is worse.
Yikes, okay. One of the reasons why I wanted us to watch this is that reportedly Jennifer Garner as Elektra will show up in Deadpool 3, and if that is accurate, it's going to be an amazing cinematic moment, because clearly tongue is firmly planted in cheek. Eric, I know you need to go. You can be found at Count Eric Connor. And yes. I believe next week we're going to be watching the Ang Lee Hulk. Have you seen that one already?
I have. It's been a minute.
That's
though,
all right.
So I'm
that's
looking
all right.
forward to
it. I think, I think that that's a good one to do. I'll be seeing it for the first time, which shockingly.
Wow.
I really like the Ed Norton one. But and I know a lot of people don't.
Oh, yeah, get ready for two words, Hulk dogs.
Oh my gosh, I love the idea of Hulk dogs. Well,
Hulk
Eric,
dogs. You will love that
thank
scene.
you for your time, and thank you for putting yourself through this movie.
Hey, listen,
And
there's not many I would do it for, but Christian, you're top of that list. So happy to
oh my
help
gosh.
out. And my best to all the Blatt maniacs out there. Be well, y'all.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again to Eric, and thank you to everybody. Daniel Drew told us he's finally going to see Oppenheimer tonight with my parents in the Air and Space Museum, proper IMAX theater. That's in Virginia. Oppenheimer, boy, is it long. And I think that after anybody checks it out, personally, I could recommend that what you might want to do is check out our Blackcast episode where we discussed it, Blackcast 553, where we were joined by one of the most respected names in film criticism. Sorry about that, everybody. I was trying to do too many things at once and I popped out. But I just wanted to say goodbye to everyone. And you can check out our Blackcast episode on Oppenheimer, which maybe I'll promote next week. I clicked one tab too many and boy, is my face red. But I should be less embarrassed than anyone associated with Elektra, but I do hope everybody checks it out. And we will be here next week, and we will be talking about Ang Lee's Hulk. And I look forward to talking to everyone about that. Please follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And next Tuesday, I will begin co-hosting a show for the Who Are These Podcast Network, a show called Who Are These Broadcasters. That'll be starting on Tuesday. So you can find me over there, but you can also find me right back here next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, where we will indeed be talking about the Ang Lee Hulk. But that's all the time we have for now. As the great Stan Lee would say, Excelsior.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.